Nothing like the steady for posterity. So what do you do when something that we know is make-believe appears in Tanakh and appears in the Torah? Okay. Parakaf, chapter 28. Vayihir was Vayamim Hahem in those days. Vayikbitsu Plishtim as Machanehem Lachava Lizachem Bisrael. So again, the Plishtim are our perennial enemies, and we can't stand them. And they gather their armies to fight Israel. Vayomer Achish el David. So Achish says to David, Yado etayda ki iti teitei b'machaneh atava anashecha. Because I know, by the way, you're going to come with me, right? Remember, where is David encamped? Where? In, what was the name of the city? Where was it again? It was down here. It was Chiklag.
Yeah, that's it.
Right? So but he's living in this Plishti city, and he's, remember, supposedly plundering all these Jewish towns. So Achish says, oh, David, now I know you're with me. That'll be the final, you know, the final blow to prove that you have joined our ranks, and that'll be it. So what does David say? Yamar David el Achish, Lachain ata teda et asher ya'aseh avdecha. You know what I'm going to do. Vayomer Achish al David, and so Achish said to David, Lachain shomer l'rashi asimcha kol hayamin. So therefore, I'm going to make you my prime guard. Meaning, so David never says, yes, Achish, I'm going to fight for you. He says, come on, how well do you know me already? Don't you know exactly how I'm going to react? But he doesn't really come out and say it and say, yes, I'm going to fight for you. Okay? And now, so that's a little bit of a side. So we have the scene that's set. The Plishtim are gathering against the Jewish armies. David is sort of caught in the middle, because up till now, he's engaged in the subterfuge where Achish is kind of an idiot and doesn't really know what's going on. But now it's either you fight or you don't fight. Are you on my side or not on my fight? So on my side. So David is kind of caught in the middle. Okay, we're now going to leave David for the day, and we'll come back to him next week. Ushmuel meis, Shmuel died, chapter 28, verse 3. Vayishvedu lo kol Yisrael, vayikberu berama ubeiro. Shmuel died, and the Jewish people, all of Israel, eulogized him. Thank you. Vayikberu berama ubeiro. By the way, why did all of Israel eulogize him? Shmuel was the prophet. What was special about Shmuel that all of Israel would eulogize him? Come on, Zoya. What was unique about him that they all would have loved him so much? Anyone?
A type of prophecy.
No. What did he do? He wasn't a prophet so much as he was a judge. How did he judge the people? What's that?
Nazir.
No, he was not a Nazir. Was he a Nazir?
He was
a Nazir, but why did they like him particularly? Was he a Nazir?
He was a Nazir.
Okay. Why did they like him? Anybody remember? No one? What did Shmuel innovate? I know this is summertime, a long time ago, right?
Court system.
How did he judge the people? He used to travel from place to place, bringing his justice to them, as opposed to everybody else who made them come to him. Remember, he was the itinerant judge. He would go from... Is that ringing a bell? Yes. Okay. So why did everybody mourn him?
He's first circuit judge.
Well, first circuit judge, right. But why did everybody mourn him? Because that...
He didn't have to go to him.
Right. Because he was really beloved to the people. He brought the Torah to the people.
And why is it just bringing it now? Because Shmuel died about 5, 6...
Chapters ago? Let's see. 1 second. Very good. The Shaul... Heishir ha'ovot ve'et ha'yidonim me'ha'aret. Shaul had removed the Ovot and Yidonim. What are Ovot? How do you give me a translation?
Necromancers.
And what are Yidonim?
It just says Yidoni diviners.
Oh, so what is a necromancer? Can somebody help me out here? Anybody want to guess what a necromancer is? Come on, that's one of your... That's an SAT word.
That's like...
What?
Harry Potter.
Sorcerer.
Fortune teller.
No, not exactly.
A future? Tell us the future.
What?
They deal with the dead. Conjuring corpses.
Right. Does Scroll talk about it yet? Anybody necromancers? What did they talk about?
That's what you just read on.
Mr. Rabbi Scroll? Nothing. Because right, it's going to be important how necromancy works.
Are forms of magic that are explicitly...
Yes, explicitly.
We've got to change pages.
Forbidden by the Torah.
Yeah, it brings out the spirit of the deceased.
Nestled under his armpit from which his voice is heard.
Right. Like this. You think that's just a, you know, prank. But no. Where does that come from? That's how they used to, from their armpit, they used to talk from their armpit, talk to the dead. Okay?
The uterine place is the bone of an animal in his mouth, and the voice emanates from there.
From his mouth, under his cheek, or something like that, if I recall correctly. Right.
Mouth.
Right, I mean, so, but, and what do we know what the Torah says about it? What does the Torah say about Ov Eidoni? Absolutely forbidden. Now, we say this very often. Why would the Torah have to forbid something if it ain't real?
If what?
If it isn't real. They believed in it. That's great. Would the Torah have to forbid me from doing something that didn't work?
It
didn't
work.
What?
We've just forgotten how to do it.
Ah, so that's the question. Does it work? Can one really, if one knows how, talk to the dead? Look at the crystal ball. I don't know, the crystal ball was just an example, but can one really divine the future by taking a bone and putting it under your armpit or whatever it is?
Oh, and Brock says that.
Yeah.
The whole thing about, dead cat under your shoulder or something.
A lot of superstitious stuff in Brachos. There's a lot of stuff in Brachos. So can one? Let's see. So Shaul had gotten rid of these people. Why did Shaul get rid of these people? Why did Shaul get... I mean, obviously the Torah is telling you not. Like, one of Shaul's things was to get rid of the Baal Le'ov and the Edonium. Why would Shaul do such a thing? There's a really good reason why he would do such a thing. Hello, anybody?
He's afraid of him.
What?
And they couldn't come out against him. That he will go to them.
Did it have to do with the fact that Shmuel's dead?
Correct. That's the job of the king. It's forbidden. It's usher. So the job of the king is to enforce. We think the job of the king is just to fight wars. No. The job of the king is to enforce laws. What laws is he entrusted with enforcing? The Torah laws. So what did Shmuel do? He decided, I'm sick of all these people going to be superstitious people. You want to know the future? You want a bracha? You go to the Navi. He got rid of them all. He had this mass campaign to rid the country of all these charlatans or these non-charlatans, these sorcerers and the necromancers. That's a very good thing that Shaul did. We'll see you in a second. Vayikbitsu plishtim, the plishtim gathered. Vayavo vayachanu b'shunem. They gathered in Shunem. Vayikbot Shaul et kol Yisrael vayachanu b'Gilboa. And Shaul gathered all of Israel and they encamped in Gilboa. Anybody know where Shunem and Gilboa are? You have a map? I don't have maps with me. I apologize. I must say, I made a rabbinic decision tonight. I had a choice. It was a very busy day. So my choice was either to stay here and make sheets after mincha or go home and have dinner with my family. So you guys came on the short end of the stick. I
made a good choice.
I apologize. Right. Okay. And I'm proud that I did. Okay. So Shunem and Gilboa, I don't know where they are. I didn't have time to look at the map. Do you have it? Shunem and Gilboa, are they in there? Shunem and Gilboa?
I'm like to the east.
I don't see it. I'll find a few for next week, because there's going to be more interest in this pair for next week. So they're close. Obviously, what they would do is, I'm camping in this city, you're in that city, and then, we sort of posture with one another until somebody actually decides to shoot first. Okay? Pasuk, hey. Vayar Shaul es machaneh plishtim vayira. Shaul saw the camp of the plishtim, and he was afraid. Vayecherad libo mod. And his heart trembled a lot. Now, by the way, how do you spell, just for your linguists, how do you spell Vayira? And he was afraid.
Two years.
So, where are the 2 years here? Why are there no 2 years here? So, I'm just giving you a short lesson in about the extent of my biblical Diduk knowledge.
Vayira
is the 2 years
together.
That would be a good word, but I was going to say simply, there's a dagesh in the yud. See the dagesh in the yud? So sometimes a dagesh will imply a double. But I like your word too. That's a good one. Okay, so he saw and he was afraid. So Shaul asked God. God didn't answer him. Gam b'chalomos, gam b'urim, v'gam b'nevi'im. So he asked also in the dreams, also in the urim, and also the urim v'tumim, and also the nevi'im. Now, I only have one problem with this pasuk. What's the problem with the pasuk? Well, prophets are the students of Shmuel. Shmuel's dead, but Shmuel has students. Chalamot, you ask God through dreams. What's that? No, he didn't kill the Nevi'im. Absolutely not. My question is, if you look at, I think there's a Metzudas David. No, not Matsudas. Yeah, Matsudas David. Okay. One second. No, maybe not. One second. You should have. Well, maybe it was.
Is it the women's tomb one that were with David?
What's that?
That they were with David?
Right. I don't know why where he gets the Urim B'Tumim from, so it's interesting. If you look at Vav, it says Gamba Urim. Rashi says, Lafisha Harab Nov Ira Kohanim Velo Ne'ena. Right? He killed that whole city of Kohanim, so the Urim B'Tumim wasn't going to answer him. But I thought, and I saw somewhere else, and somebody else says, that he couldn't get the Urim B'Tumim to answer him because he didn't have it. So I'm not sure. It's a little bit unclear.
It's Mitzvah David.
Did that say it? Where's Mitzvah David?
Yeah, parentheses.
Oh, Vashar Urim Hayu Imi Vyaktar. Right. Eshalom Asher Shalach Ilav Anashim Lish'olbo. Isn't that interesting? Like, he would send a message to David saying, I need your help, do me a favor, can you ask a question for me, and get no answer. So why would you get no answer?
Not there to get.
Like, if I was in my wife's class now, she would make all of you stand up and do jumping jacks. Why would Saul get no answer from the Urim B'Tumim?
He doesn't serve.
He wiped out a whole city of Kohanim. So the Urim B'Tumim says, you know, forget you.
Well, saying according to this, that he actually sent a message to David to ask him to answer.
Is that crazy?
I don't think it's crazy. I think it's desperate.
Okay. That would be a good indication of just how desperate Shmuel is. He's really, really desperate, you know, to get an answer. He doesn't know what to do. Shaul ha'avadav. So Shmuel said to his... Shmuel's dead.
Yeah.
Shmuel said to his servants, Bakshuli eshet ba'alat ov. Do me a favor. Find me a necromancer lady. Ve'alcha ilea ve'edru shabbah. So I'll go ask her. Vayumu avadav elav. So his servant said, Ne eshet ba'alat ov be'ein dor. We know of one lady who knows how to do that in Ein Dor. Right, let me explain to you this again. Yeah. Yeah. You know. Well, now he needs it. Right. Correct. Okay. So he decides, you know, he tried the normal channels, right?
God's not answering.
Try the back phone.
Somebody that used to talk to God.
What?
God's not answering. Talk to somebody who used to talk to God.
Correct. He wants to get a direct line. And if God won't answer him the normal way, he's going to get the abnormal way. Very, it's very interesting. It's sort of shocking in a way. V'yomer Shaul, which I said, Pasuchet, V'yitchapesh Shaul, I'm sure article translates it as Shaul dressed up or disguised himself.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Disguised
himself. V'yilbash begadim achirim. And he wore other clothes. And now, I'm just going to ask you a question. I know they all translate it as he disguised himself, but what is the definition of disguising yourself? What is the definition? Define disguise. What does a person do when he disguises himself?
Change
his appearance. Right. So why would I say the same thing twice? Vayitchapesh Shaul, vayilbash begadim achirim. I'm just going to leave that. Also, the word vayitchapesh is a word...
Did he shave his beard or something?
No way. Absolutely no way. I mean, by the way, what did Shaul look like? You know, we're having this Rashi weekend. Everybody show up for the Rashi weekend. It's going to be great. What did Rashi look like? Anybody know? We have no idea what Rashi looked like. Rashi could walk by you in the street and you would never know. You read his book from here to tomorrow. You have no idea what Rashi looked like.
He had a beard and pants.
How many people know what Shaul looks like? How many Jewish people have ever seen the king? Let's say there are 300,000 people. So how many of them have physically seen the king? If you didn't have TV, how many Americans have physically seen George Bush? I got to see him at a rally, but how many? 0.01%. So without television, imagine, you wouldn't even know what he would look like. So disguise, what does disguise mean for a king? Yeah, wear hood, took off the royal garments. What else do you need? Isn't it to dress up, you know, like with a wig and a clown hat? You know, because we're living in a time. How would it, you know, they would have paintings of Shaul or murals on, you know, in the streets of Tiklag. You know, so.
But also, didn't he go by himself, right? Didn't he always have, like, people around him?
Correct, sure.
So if he showed up with 20 people guarding, somebody would say, who is this?
Right, no, the king is here. No, before the king got there, they would tell you. The king is coming. You know, they would announce him beforehand. You would know who's coming. They didn't want anybody to guess who's coming. And you would, you know, bow down. You know? So if some guy shows up and doesn't say anything, you know, some guy, nobody knows who he is. You know, there's that famous story. Ever heard of the famous story? That the Chafetz Chaim was sitting on a train. And the Chafetz Chaim, and the guy comes, and he's riding the train to get back to riding. And he says, the guy strikes up a conversation with him. Chafetz Chaim never spoke, and as we all know, never spoke less than her. So the Chafetz Chaim said, "I'm going to Radin." So the guy said, "Have you heard of the great Chafetz Chaim, Rabbi Yisrael Meir HaKohen Kagan of Radin? Have you heard of him? I'm so excited, I'm going to see him." So the Chafetz Chaim said, "I've heard of him. Aren't you excited to see him?" So the Chafetz Chaim said, "No, he's not that great a person. He's just a regular person like everybody else." And the man became so incensed at this insolence of this person. How dare he say that he slapped him. True story. Can you imagine? So when they get to the train station in Radin, like you know, when the Chafetz Chaim came back to town, there were like, you know, 50 people that were welcome to Chafetz Chaim. And the man, of course, when he realized who it was, he like almost died, you know. So the Chafetz Chaim writes, he says, "From this I learned that you're not allowed to even say Lashon Hara about yourself. You can't even degrade yourself because you don't know what will come to it. Come from it." And, you know, and the Chafetz Chaim was a person who cared so much about the effects of your own speech. But imagine that. The great Chafetz Chaim, this person would slap somebody else over the honor of the Chafetz Chaim, but he had no idea what he looked like. And you know what? It doesn't matter what he looked like. You know, one thing I learned this week is it's not about the person. It's not about the individual so much as what the person represents and what he teaches and the ideology that he conveys. The same thing is true of Shaul or Samuel, you know, or Rashi. Well, we're gonna try to figure, you know, we're guessing what he looked like. But it doesn't really matter what he looked like. Like, we live in such a visual time. We need to see everything. We need to experience everything. But it wasn't always that way. You didn't need to see the king. You had a king. And that was, you know, you didn't need to see Rashi. You learned Rashi. And that was really the most important thing. Okay. Shaul. So I'm going to leave that word untranslated, or I'll just leave it as, "and Shaul disguised himself." But I want you to remember that word, that it's a question. He wore other clothes. He went with his two men. Anashim imo. Right? So again, what did you say? How many people would he normally go with? 20, whatever, a whole entourage. He would never go anywhere. So all of a sudden, you see some guy walking with two guys. Yeah, and who's he? Vayavo el ha'isa laila. And they came to this woman in the middle of the night. Now, what I find striking is, very interesting is, so Shaul, he spent his whole life campaigning to get rid of the necromancers, right? All of a sudden, he pipes up and says, "You know, I really could use a necromancer." And what do they say? "Oh, we got one for you. One second, if you had one for him, why don't you get rid of her?" You know, that's like, lahavdil. Rudy Giuliani got rid of all the porn shops on 42nd Street, right? He cleaned up Times Square. So, lo and behold, one day comes along, got divorced from his wife, he's feeling a little lonely, he says, "You know, I really could use it on one of these shops." "Ah, Mr. Mayor, we got one right here for you." "Well, I don't understand. Did you just try to get rid of them?" "Oh, I saved one for me." You know, it's just a little, it's a little weird. Like, how come, oh, you know, he says, "Do you know of anyone?" What do you know? She's an Endor. You know. She was on our list next. We were just going to get rid of her, but we decided to hold off.
Where's Endor?
I don't know. Wyoming, I don't know my geography. If we were in Israel, maybe we'd visit.
Possible it's a city that he didn't have control over.
Endor? Then how could he go there?
On his way. I don't know. Well, he was unrecognizable at that time. He went at night.
Yeah.
So maybe it was someone...
He just, like, stole into a place, you know, like...
Right, he didn't have control over it, and so therefore there was a reason that,
you know,
he was there.
You want to know what the Midrash says? Look at the Radak on Hinei Eshet Ba'aloit O Be'in Dor. Look at Radak. You have Radak? I don't know, Howard, I don't know if you have it. You have Radak?
Yeah.
Okay. See what it says, Hinei Ba'aloit O in the on Zion? Like, there's a second thing in Zion in the Radak. Amru Ba'Midrash, you see it? One second, Radak. Wow, that's bad printing.
Yep.
Amru Bamidrash, it's the fourth line, second, you see down there? I'm just saying for those Judaica Press guys. Amru Bamidrash, the Midrash says, Zu Eshes Tzefanya Emoshel Avner. This is the wife of Tzefanya, the mother of Avner. Anybody know who Avner is?
David's right-hand man.
David's right-hand man?
Shaul's right-hand
man. Avner Ben-Ner, Shaul's right-hand man.
Bad guy.
So which necromancer lady did they not wipe out?
Coincidence.
The general's mother. You know, it's like all in the family. It's very, very strange. So, but the Midrash does comment. How'd they know who she was? How'd they find one so quick? Yeah, I think my mom does that. Yeah, okay, great. Wonderful.
And also further proof that Shaul did not have a hand, the one who's on. You know, he said get rid of all of them, and they said,
I could see if Shaul said get rid of all of them, and then they'd have to look. You know what I'm saying? Oh, you know, like, for sure it was impossible to get rid of all of them. You know, imagine, how was police work before computers? It was like you're waiting for the guy to make a mistake. You know what I'm saying? There was no way. It's like a needle in a haystack. So now it's a little easier because everybody's got Big Brother watching them.
They have ageless fingerprints and they have DNA.
Right. But before that, you know, you want to catch a guy? You know, he had to make it easy for you. So you wanted to find these Baalot Ov, these necromancer ladies, all she had to do was hide it. You know, and not keep it to anybody. Vayomer, so he gets there. Vayomer, Yom Isha, they came in the night. Vayomer, Kashami Na Li Ba'ov. Walks into her and says, I want you to conjure somebody up for me. Alright, and do me a favor, I want you to conjure up the person I'm going to tell you. Hey man, this is a clean place. You know, we don't do that kind of stuff anymore. You know what Shaul did? Right? We don't do necromancy anymore. We now sell Slurpees and, you know, magazines. But no ove here. Velama ata midna kesh benashi lahani teni. That's a capital crime. And it was. Right? If they catch me, you know, why are you killing me? Vayishava la Shaul b'Hashem le'mor. So Shaul swore in God's name, saying, Chai Hashem, as God lives, im yikircha avon b'davar hazeh. I swear to you, you will not be held responsible for this. You know what I would think if I was her? Yeah, right. You know, or...
How important are you?
Right. Ooh, okay. Let's go then.
Why is the double kusami? One's in brackets.
Oh, we mean, because it's one is a kri and one is a kshiv. It's written kshiv with a vav in kasami.
Yeah.
We don't pronounce the vav. There's a kri and a kshiv. I wish I could explain to you all the kri and the kshiv. There are different mesoras, transmissions. So it's transmitted. It's handed down that it's written a certain way, but pronounced a different way. Very often you'll find that in the Torah. People who are learning, they'll read it in the way that it's the mesora, in the way that it's handed down to read, even though it doesn't say that in the words. In some places, even there are whole words, like in the Megillas Esther, the whole words that are left out that we introduce that we read. You know, it's just the kri and the kshiv. So he promises nothing's going to happen to you. Pasuk Yudalef. Vatomer Ha'isha. What? You found it?
Yeah, it's at the...
Where is it?
There's
Shunam,
Endor. I can't find Gilboa.
Oh, so it's right near there, though. I'm sorry.
It's somewhere over there.
Yeah, so he went close. He didn't have to travel far. Well, where the police... They're near the Kinneret.
Oh, everything's been happening down here.
Yeah, they're near, but they had gathered for war. That's where the war was. Okay. Pasuk Yudalef. Vatomer Ha'isha et Ni'alelach. So tell me, who'd you like? Your mother-in-law? Your grandmother? You know, like those shows where... I've never really seen them on TV, but wasn't there those shows like where some guy would say, okay, who in the audience wants to talk to somebody?
Crossing Over.
What's that name? Crossing Over with...
The presidential candidate, John Edwards.
No, that's... Oh, that is it?
That's what
I
was saying.
You know, who am I... it's an aunt. I see a woman. My aunt? Yes, I think it's your aunt. My aunt Shady? Could be, you know. Okay. I see a letter. I see a. Right. Is it a B or a V or a P or a T? Yeah, two. Was it that obvious, or he really freaked people out?
Well, I mean, he made it seem like, you know, he was talking to me.
Okay. Anyway.
Ooh. Oh, like the neutral medium.
Didn't Nancy Reagan used to use clairvoyance in order to find out what the president should be doing?
Go to astrology.
Yeah.
Right. Some astrologers.
Right.
existing.
When we found out about that, it was a good sign for Ronnie Reagan. That was just a good sign. Do people go to astrologers today? We're not talking about astrology. We're talking about conjuring up the dead. Right?
No, but to find people.
Yeah, the medium, they have a program called the medium now that they're using somebody to go back and talk to. The
okay. So she says, so, who do you want? Who's it going to be? Vayomer et Shmuel ha'alili. I want Shmuel. That's like, I'm sure she said, well, that was going to cost you. You know? That's a heavy one, you know, like some are harder than others. You want your brother-in-law? No, I want the prophet Shmuel. Vatera ha'isha et Shmuel. Vatizak b'kol gadol. So when she saw him, she cried out, Vatomer ha'isha el Shaul le'mor. Lama ribitani v'ata Shaul. When she saw Shmuel, she saw something that she immediately knew that this guy was Shaul. Why did you lie to me? You're Shaul, you're him. Vayomer laha melech, so the king said, Al tiri, kima ra'is. What did you see? Vatomer ha'isha el Shaul said, Elohim ra'iti olim min ha'aretz. You have to translate it literally first. I saw Elohim. Literally, it seems to mean God. Olim mean ha'aretz. What is olim? But what does olim mean in Hebrew? Is it olim rising? How is it conjugated?
In the plural.
In the plural. Very good, Ev. Okay. Some things are rising from the ground. I saw them rising. So what did she see that she knew that this was Shaul? By the way, what does he see? Let's look at Rashi for a second. What does he see? Okay. Yud Bet. Look at Rashi on Yud Bet. Vatishak v'kol gadol. She cried out. So what did she see that she knew that he was the king? Shira'atu oleh shelo kederech ha'olim. She saw him rise up, not the way normal rising up. Shahama'aleh bizichuro. One who rises up, I don't remember, maybe when he's mentioned, I don't know, Zichuro, when he's mentioned, I guess. I'm not sure what the word Zichuro means. Olim raglehem lamahala. Upside down. Vize oleh rosho lamahala. But this one, when Shmuel arose from the dead, how did he rise? Right side up. Why did he rise right side up? Bishvil kvodo shel Shaul. Because he was in front of the king. He was in front of the king of Israel. So imagine that. It's such an interesting, well, this is a chapter of paradoxes.
But find that again because of his own?
Normally, if Evan Rice would want to raise somebody from the dead, I don't recommend it, but if you would, right? So if you want to raise,
Ronald Reagan.
Ronald Reagan. See, raise up Ronald Reagan. I don't see Evan. That wouldn't be his first choice. Who would be your first dead celebrity you'd want to meet?
Elvis.
Okay, Evan raises up. Sure. Evan's dead. Okay. So Evan would see Elvis upside down.
That's the way it's normally.
Which is a very interesting thing. This is what the Midrash says. This is not Rashi. Rashi is part of the Midrash only. The Midrash says that when you rise somebody from the dead, they're upside down. But here, when Shmuel appeared to the woman, he appeared right side up. Why? Because it would be inappropriate for someone to appear before the king of Israel upside down. So in order to give the king of Israel honor, so what's the problem?
He should be doing this to begin with.
Correct.
So why do you need honor?
Oh, okay, very good. Moreover, there's another Rashi. Let's see one second. Elohim ra'iti olim min ha'aretz. Rashi. Malachim shnayim. He saw two angels. Moshe u'Shmuel. Who came with Shmuel didn't come alone. He brought somebody with him. Who did he bring? Moshe Rabbeinu. Senishyare Shmuel Shema Ani Mishbakesh Badin. Shmuel said, you know, Shmuel was hanging out in wherever those people hang out when they're dead, and all of a sudden he got the call. Shmuel, you're being called. Shmuel, please appear. So Shmuel got freaked out. So Shmuel said, maybe I'm being called for din, for justice, for judgment day. So Shmuel said, you know, to Moshe, he's sitting there, obviously, he got into the VIP room. So he said to Moshe, she's sitting there with Moshe, right? So he said to Moshe, would you mind coming with me? So Moshe said, sure, I'll tag along. So when they appeared, when he walked, okay, go through that door. Right? They're standing in front of some lady.
He's not upside down either.
This is the Midrash. Unbelievable. I mean, the Midrashim on this are wild, just wild, wild, wild stuff. You would have read this had I no teach for you, but I didn't.
Can you
okay. Yeah, I will. Actually, I'll get to it, hopefully. Great Midrashim. All I've got to do is find it. Zehaya echad mishisha mikraos. This was one of six verses. Shehaya Rebbe kore osan uboche. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, if you're interested in this, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, when he would read six psukim would make him cry. This was one of them. More to make him cry. Why do you get me upset? One second. What does it mean? Umas Shmuel had Shadek Nisyare Minhagin. Here's Shmuel, the prophet of Israel, the judge. He's in the VIP room. He's sitting with Moshe Rabbeinu. And when they call him for din, how does he feel?
Probably very humble.
Petrified. So scared, he asks for the world's, and next world's, greatest lawyer. Moshe Rabbeinu.
Not going to find a better one.
Not going to find a better arguer with God than Moshe. He's so scared, he says, Moshe, I'm not going without you. Anu al achas kama v'kama. We, how much more so do we have what to be afraid of? Meaning Shmuel is up there, and he knows what he did. He knows the life he leads. He knows the things that he accomplished. And still when that great call came, he panicked. He was afraid. What about us? Yeah, it's a good question. It's a great midrash. And that's why it says that she saw two people go up, Shmuel and Moshe Rabbeinu. No, they don't translate. It's not in the translation. It's in Rashi.
Right.
I have to tell you a freaky story. So we said that Shaul tried to raise up Shmuel or talk to God with dreams. So I was at the Fordansky Shiva tonight, which is the Fordansky's was, Mr. Fordansky was Mrs. Epps. Sarah Epps' father. And apparently, Sarah's mother told Rabbi Bakst the day after he passed away, he said that 2 weeks before he passed away, her husband passed away, she had a dream. And in her dream, she saw Rabbi Bakst, Zatzal, the Rosh Hashiva. And she said he looked good, he looked well. And she met the Rosh Hashiva, and she said to the Rosh Hashiva, what can I do for you? And he said, I'm looking for your husband. I'm looking for your husband. He's supposed to be with me. I want him. And she said that she well forced herself to wake up before the dream ended because she didn't want him to find her.
Mm.
So I told Mrs. Wardowski, I said, we don't have, most people don't have dreams like that. You know? What?
A bit of a dream.
I don't know. Make of it what you make of it. You know. Anyway. Okay.
But he found him anyway.
Well, found him.
We'll label that.
It's true. Vayomer la. And so he said to him, Mata aro. So what does he look like? Vatomer ish zakein ole. He's an old man. Vahu oten me'il. And he's wearing a kind of coat. So Shmuel knew after this description that it was that Saul knew that it was Shmuel, and he bowed down. How does Saul know that it's Shmuel? Where did the coat come from? Anybody remember? I didn't remember this. Where did the coat come from? No. Anybody remember? I didn't remember this.
A woman.
Which woman?
That original one, the one who...
No, God forbid. This is Shmuel. This is the prophet Shmuel. Nobody remembers? I don't remember either. Remember that Shmuel's mother used to make him a new coat every year? She would come back and visit him. Remember, how was Shmuel born? Chana, Shmuel's mother, she prayed for him, and then when he was born, 3 years later, she brought him back and she left him with Eli the Kohen. So every year she would come back and make him a new coat. Remember that she would make him a coat? Mm-hmm. So he used to wear the last coat she made for him, I guess.
But she recognized
the coat. So, well, you knew that the guy walking around with the old coat, that was the prophet. That was Shaul. That was Shmuel. Excuse me. Now, look at Rashi on this one. Rashi says, why did Shaul have to ask, what do you look like? I mean, if you're going to raise somebody from the dead, the least you could do is see him. Says Rashi. Shlosha Dvarim, Namru Ba'of. There were three things about necromancy that you should know. Hamaleo, so, when you raise somebody from the dead, ro'ehu ve'eina shomea kolo. Right? The person who raises the dead guy sees him but can't hear. V'hanishal lo, and the person who is asking, who made the request, shomo ve'eina ro'ehu. And the person who's on his behalf, he can hear but he can't see. U'lefikach shal ma ta'aro. V'acher lo ro'ehu ve'lo shomo. And somebody else standing there can't hear or see what's going on.
Can or cannot?
Cannot. So therefore, if you were to come to me and ask me to raise somebody from the dead, which I wouldn't do for you, because I can't, and I don't know how, I would be able to see what they look like. You would be able to hear them,
and
they wouldn't know what's going on.
They look like a little crazy.
Correct. Okay. So now you see where this Harry Potter stuff comes in. You know, mm-hmm. Like in Harry Potter, it's always like that, that, oh, well, this guy can hear, and you can't see, and I can, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know? Okay. Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul. So Shmuel says to Shaul, Mama heard guys Tani Lahalot OT. What do you think you're doing? Why did you anger me to rise me from the dead? Vayomer Shaul, so Shaul says, Sa'ali Me'od. You have to, what does Sa'ali Me'od mean?
Me'od is a lot.
I am in great distress. Upristim no chamimbi. The police are fighting me. The Elohim Sharmealai. And God has removed himself from Velo Anani Od. And he hasn't answered me. Gam Biyad Hanabi'im, Gam Chalomot, whether it's the prophets or the dreams. The Ekra Allah Hodi'ini Ma'a says, I called you, I don't know what to do. Tell me what to do. By the way, what doesn't Shaul mention?
There was a third one, the two men.
Right, so why doesn't he answer the Rebbe Tumim? Rashi? Well, tell me before you look at Rashi, why doesn't he mention the Rebbe Tumim?
Because he knows that he destroyed the
client. Correct, Rashi, very good. Very good, Rashi. I think it's Rashi, 1 second. Nivi'im, Megam Mechalamotzi, Rashi. Aval Be'urim, Betumim, Lo Amar Lo. But it doesn't mention Urim, Betumim, why? V'afal Pisha Sha'abahem, Kamosha Amar Lamar, even though he tried, Sahaya Bushmi Menu, he was embarrassed about it. Al Saharad No of Ir HaKohen. He was embarrassed about it. Okay? So, he says, I mean, the thing that strikes me when I read this pasuk, it makes me sad for him.
He's scared. Well, but
he's panicked. Is what he's doing make any sense?
Well, no. What makes sense is that he turned his back on God.
Forgot to turn his back on God. Is what Saul is doing now make any sense whatsoever?
Saul or small.
Saul.
That kind of feels like he has no other. You know, he's always.
Let me ask you this: have you read ahead yet?
No.
What's Shmuel going to say to him? He says, I called God and God didn't answer me. What's supposed to happen?
So why are you calling me?
Hello, get the message. So what is he doing? Is he going to find out anything that he doesn't already know? What is he afraid of?
Afraid of
truth.
What is he afraid of? Yes, correct. What does he find out?
Yeah.
Correct. All right. So what has he accomplished?
Nothing.
It's very interesting. You know, sometimes, like, we always want to know what the future is going to bring. And reality is,
you don't
want to know. We are way better off not knowing. Which is
interesting. Won the lottery.
What?
Unless you win the lottery.
You know what happened to the guy who won $300 million in the lottery?
He put it all in taxes.
What?
Probably put it all in taxes.
He has no friends, and his granddaughter committed suicide. I saw an article about that in the New York Times.
We'll be in debt in a couple of years.
They say, you know, we all own the lottery. I buy lottery tickets like everybody else. I used to buy only when it went over 40 million, but now it's always over 40 million.
Sure.
So I only buy now when it goes like over 90 or 100, because then it's really, you know, that's really worth it. So, you know, we all say we want to win the lottery.
One would be nice. Yeah.
Be able to win.
I don't know, whatever. We all have our crazy thing. You can't, because I don't want to blow the money every week. So you have to set a threshold and say, oh, now it's time to buy the lottery ticket. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, everybody wants to win the lottery, but if you ever look at the statistics of the people that won lotteries, they're all miserable. But we all think to ourselves, not going to be me. I'm going to work it out.
I'll solve all my problems. Money.
What?
You do a lot of good with that money.
Yeah, when you have no friends and your family hates you, how much good have you done?
Well, you don't keep all of it. You give half of it away.
I'd like to see you win.
That's the government.
The other half.
There's the challenge, right? And it's never enough. And how come you helped him and you didn't help me? And how come you gave that organization to give our organization? And, you know, we were always your shul. And, you know, how come you didn't build us a new building? And people have a lot of expectations. A lot of expectations. Chad, so what is Saul doing? You see how desperate he is. Listen to him ramble. Just listen to the words. I'm just going to read the words again. Vayomer Shmuel Shaul. I'm going to give the Vayomer Shaul. I'm in touch with him again. Sarli mi od. Uplishtim mil chamimbi. Ve'elohim shami alai v'lo anani od. Gam b'yad hanavim v'gam v'chalomot. Ve'akru alach alohudi eim ma'ay ashe. It's like just like one sentence like, Shmuel, you're here. Tell me what to do. Sarli mi od. Where else do we see Sarli mi od? Anybody know? You should recognize that.
Kimi Plush.
Yeah, good. Where you got it from? Come on, you only say it twice a day.
Twice a day.
I'll start you off. Yomer David Elgad.
Oh,
it's right. Yeah? Yeah? Finish it up. Yeah, now you know what I started you. Yomer David Elgad. Sa'alim Yod. Yifnan of Yad Hashem Kib Yad Adam Ala Pola. What does Sa'alim Yod mean? Sa'alim Yod, and there's a good extrapolation, means there's no good answer. I have no options. What happened in the story? You should all know. When we say Kachem, you have to know what that story is. David counted the Jewish people against God's commandment. He made a mistake. Mm. So God comes to him and says, you have three choices. You can have 3 years of famine, you can have 3 months of war, or you can have 3 days of plague.
Should not have taken the middle one.
Take your pick. Right. Either one, many people will die. Have a good day.
So sorry, Charlie.
Vayomer David El God. So David answers God. Sarli Ma'od. What does Sarli Ma'od mean? Thanks for the choices. I'm damned if I do, and I'm damned if I don't. Sarli Ma'od. I am in great distress. Why? What am I supposed to pick? People die of starvation, people die in war, or people die in plague? What's best? So he says, Nifla, 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 Na, Biyad Hashem, Ubiyad Adam Alapola. You know which one I'll take? I'll take plague. Because at least I'll be in the hands of God and not in the hands of somebody else. Why? He's right. Why? Because my enemies will be unforgiving. Whereas God might change his mind. And what happens if you follow the story? God does forgive after like 20,000 people. Something like that. I remember 20 or 80 to some insane number of people.
That's a small difference.
Yeah. Sa'ali Ma'od. So what does Sa'ali Ma'od mean? Sa'ali Ma'od means I'm out of options. So that's what Saul says. Shmuel, why did I conjure you up? What do you mean, why did I conjure you up? Think I feel good about conjuring you up? I know it's usher. I know what I did. But I did it because I had no other option. Nobody was answering me. I couldn't get up, you know. Never have that, you know, like call some guy's cell phone. You need to get through. You call a cell phone, you text him, and you email them, and you,
mm-hmm.
and nobody answers, and he's out to lunch. But Yama Shmuel, V'lama Tishalim, that's what Shmuel say. I mean, he says it's obvious. What are you asking me for? God's the one who is rejecting you. You're going to ask me. I'm going to tell you. V'hi arech means, Rashi says, and it is arech. You are hated by God. You ever wonder why he didn't pick up the phone? You ever wonder why he isn't taking your calls? You know why he's not taking it. And Saul instinctively knows why. He knows. But he, you know, it is interesting that he needs... It's an interesting question why he needs to talk to Shmuel. If he knows the answer, which he does, why does he need to hear it?
This is his Rebbe.
Yeah. Shmuel is his Rebbe. Shmuel is the one who started him off. Shmuel, even remember when he went to go chase after David, he could not go against Shmuel. He always had that respect for Shmuel. He had that reverence for Shmuel. Like he's tied to Shmuel.
Except the one before.
Shmuel continues. Yeah, I mean,
except for when he
didn't kill Shmuel. Until I call on him. Of course Shmuel was distressed. We don't know what happens between Saul and Shmuel. Shmuel said, I can't talk to you anymore. Remember what he said. After he didn't do his job with Amalek, Shmuel said, you're done, and I'm done with you. But Saul never lost his tie to his Rebbe. So he says, who am I supposed to turn to? So Shmuel continues, Yud Zayin. Vayash Hashem lo kaaser diber biyadi. I told you what's going to happen. God will do to you, to him, to his enemy, what I said. Vayikra Hashem et hamemlacha biyadecha. He's going to tear the kingdom from your hands. Vayitnada re'acha leDavid. The truth comes out. What did he say before? Different.
To the one who's better than
me. Very good, Verdi. But he said, mi-meka. He's going to give it to the one who's better than you. He never said David. Now, Shaul always knew that it was David. We always knew that it was David. Everybody knew it was David. But he never said it. I got to read you a medrash. He says, he's going to give it to David. He's going to give it to your friend David. Amar le Saul the Shmuel. Saul said, "Hello, ain elu dvarim sha." It's in Aramaic, but I'm translating. Ain elu dvarim sha amartek shaiti etzli ba'olam hazeh. Hey, like, you didn't tell me that when in this world, when you were alive, you didn't tell me that. Why didn't you tell me that then? Shaiti ba'olam hazeh. When I was in olam hazeh, you would say, "V'ratata l'reacha hatov mimecha." Whoever's better than you. And now you say that Hamaluchahi Gabe Sonachaz, yeah, David. And now you say you're going to give it to David. How can you lie to me all this time? You knew it was David. Why didn't you tell me it was David? That's what he says. Amar Leh, he said to him, Tad Havina Gabach, when I was with you, Havina Ba'olam Deseker. I was in a world of lies. This world is the Olam Deseker. V'habit Shemiya Minei Milin Shakrin, and you heard lies from me. Because we lived in a world of lies. The reason I lied to you know why I lied to you? So you wouldn't kill me. Now that I'm in the, what we call in Hebrew, Olam Ha'emes, what does Olam Ha'emes literally mean? Olam Ha'emes, we translate it as the true world. What does Olam Ha'emes literally mean? Now that I'm in the world of truth, you ain't going to hear anything from me but the truth. Lo chinam asa kadosh baruch hu zeh. Then why did it happen this way? Because you didn't listen to God. So Saul says to him, like the midrash fills in the conversation. Saul says, you never said it was David. How come you didn't lie? You lied to me all that time. Of course I lied to you. The world is full of lies. Why did I lie to you? You're going to kill me. What do you think?
He didn't really lie to him. He just didn't give him the whole truth.
Yeah, that's like the Paro and Moshe thing that we didn't talk about. Like, you know, remember we talked about that.
Yeah.
I didn't really lie to you. I just didn't tell you everything you needed to know. Right, you know. I'm going to pay you, you know, I'm going to pay you, your salary will be $200,000. And you're like, great, right? Take the job. You get the paycheck. The first paycheck is for $1,000. So you come to your boss and say, whoa, a second, $1,000 for 2 weeks of pay. I figured that out. It's only $26,000 a year. Oh, I didn't say $200,000 for a year. $200,000 over 8 years. I just didn't tell you the whole thing. Did I lie to you?
Yeah.
Technically
not. Okay, thank you. Well said. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So what did he say? Pasuk Yurchet. Kasher lo shamata b'kol Hashem. You didn't listen to God. You didn't exact his vengeance. And Amalek, that's what God will do to you today. And God will place also the Jewish people with you. And the hands of the Philistine. Umachar atau vanecha imi. Tomorrow, you and your sons, you're with me. Also the camp of Israel will be the Machane Plishtim. So I'm going to continue this next week. We're in the middle of a really good story. We have a number of fundamentally good questions. A couple of questions are, I'm just going to leave you. Anybody have any questions that they want to share with me before I tell you mine? What was the other question?
The double...
Oh, we'll get back to that. Good, remind me next week. We'll get back to that. Yeah, any questions you have on the story so far? No? Please don't tell me now. Somebody tell me, I think, a good question. No one? Anyone? Anyone?
Are you jumping jacks?
No, jumping jacks.
What about the dust from the disguise?
Well, now we know we owe the disguise thing. Question number one.
If it's so usher to do it, why does it work in this case?
Well, I would answer, my answer to that question would be, it's so usher to do that because it works.
Okay. Well, a lot of things are usher and you can still do
them. Well, no, I mean, I, personally, I think that it works. I think that there are a lot of things in the world that exist. I think there's such a thing as black magic.
Kabbalah.
No, not Kabbalah. Black magic. And the reason why the tarot tells you can't do it is because it works. Because if it didn't work, why would tarot consider it? Do magic from Hillsborough tomorrow. I have a cadaver, hocus pocus zoom, and it doesn't work.
Don't mess with dead bodies, and that's what this is messing with corpses.
Oh, you, so you think it doesn't work?
No, I think it does work, but the only way to do it is to do it this way, and that's...
Well, we didn't... No, Shmuel's corpse wasn't there. You're messing
no,
with the soul.
Using something.
You're messing with the soul.
So maybe that's with us, or then it's not
the
soul altogether.
Yeah, all right, fine. The question that the rabbis deal with on an ongoing basis is, how is it that God allows some shlubby lady somewhere to rise up the soul of Shmuel? Okay, you want to raise up the soul of your Uncle Phil? Be my guest. It's us, but fine. But Shmuel?
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that doesn't make sense is the following. God doesn't answer Shmuel's soul. Calls on the phone, tries the dreams, tries the Urim and Thummim, tries the prophets, nothing.
All of them, nothing works.
Why would this work? If God doesn't want him to know,
because
he doesn't want him to know.
I have an answer, maybe.
Right, well, let's leave the question. Think about it. The next thing to ask is, the commentators ask, does it work? Is it true? Now, it seems from the Navi clear that it works. But not all commentators agree that it really works. Some think that it does. Some think that Harry Potter is real. Something Harry Potter's fake.
It doesn't have to work in the sense of working. It worked in the sense that deep inside he knew the answer. That's how it worked.
So you're saying that she was like she was John Edwards. All you're saying is she was John Edwards.
No, she had the ability because people believed in her or her abilities that they came out really from the person.
So then, in your words, she was a fraud. Okay. So it doesn't work. So it doesn't work.
It works in the sense that the person believes it, and they know the answer in their own mind.
Final question. You raise the dead.
Didn't he have thoughts of hallucination also?
Well, he had a melancholy. We don't know what he had. You raise the dead, and the dead guy says to you, I've got bad news for you. In 24 hours, you're going to fight the police team, and you're going to get killed. So, Howard, what do you say to yourself?
I'm not fighting.
Right. Yeah. Don't go out and play.
Well, then I'll be playing cards tomorrow.
Go hide.
Right?
Avoid it.
They'll come find you.
Why doesn't Shaul run away? All that and more next week. Okay, announcement. Everybody, I don't know if you took a bookmark or you looked at the bookmark.